As Mexico's president heads to Brisbane for the G20 summit, back at home, Mexicans are venting their anger in protests, some of them very violent. The government, a mayor, police officers and gang members have all been implicated in the abduction and murder of 43 students 6 weeks ago. The protesters say the government is implicated in this shocking massacre, and they've set fire now to the doors of the National Palace in Mexico City, as well as the governing party offices in southwestern Guerrero State, where the murders took place. John Ackerman is professor at the Institute for Legal Research at the National Autonomous University of Mexico. He's also editor-in-chief of the Mexican Law Review, and he joins us from Paris this morning. John Ackerman, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, John. John, just to take us back a minute to the start of this, can you tell us who these 43 students were and why they were targeted and would seem killed in such a brutal way?
Well, this is a very big question. This is gets to the heart of the question, because in Mexico we've been having a very violent situation for many years. There's been a drug war very much supported by and funded by the U.S. government in particular, a militarized drug war for the last 8 years, ever since the previous president, Calderon, brought the military out into the streets. 50,000 military officers or soldiers, military in general, are on the streets, and 8 years later, they have not resolved the problem. In fact, things apparently are getting worse. This is a particularly important massacre crime, because it's very clear to everybody, both in Mexico and internationally, that this is not a question of drug gangs fighting amongst each other, but it's a question of state officials, government officials, the police, firing on students, innocent student activists who are collecting money to be able to travel to Mexico City for, ironically, a march in remembrance of the 1968 student massacre, which happened on October 2nd, 1968. So all of a sudden, international public opinion and domestic public opinion in Mexico is waking up, is realizing that 8 years of this militarized strategy has not changed the situation on the ground, that the corruption of the police forces, of the impunity, continue to be as bad as ever been before.
Okay, but I think we're trying to understand why it's come to this, why the 43 trainee teachers who might have been protesting or planning a protest may have been sort of taken off the streets like this and killed. That's the suggestion. And the suggestion is also that the mayor of the town ordered police to intercept the students and have them done away with. I mean, that's the suggestion. What proof is there, given that the gang members have already put their hand up and confessed to the killing of these students?
Well, that's not clear yet. We don't have any conclusions, and this is one of the central problems. 6 weeks after this massacre on September 26th, the Attorney General, the Federal Attorney General, he is the one who needs to investigate this case, has not come to any conclusions. We don't know if they're alive or if they're dead. He suggests that most likely the students were taken and burned alive, many of them, for 12 hours in a bonfire on September 27th, the next day, under the noses, literally, of the military and the federal police. Mm. This is not just a question of local corrupt officials. This is a question of the Mexican state as such, and that's why people are protesting. They're protesting not for justice, only for justice for these kids, but for democracy in Mexico. This is Mexico's, fall, and not the spring of the Arab Spring, but this is the Latin American fall, which is emerging on the streets in Mexico.
Okay, John, I'm just trying to understand, though, why, if the local gang members have confessed to the killing of the students and burning their bodies, then why that's not being believed, and has there been, they've taken authorities to where they said these bodies were, and there's been some DNA testing. Can you tell us about that?
Organized crime and narco-trafficking are federal crimes, right? This is not a local issue. And one of the important things is that the federal officials have been covering up federal responsibility. So they haven't opened up any lines of investigation into the military, into the police. Now, it is true that last Friday, the Attorney General revealed three testimonies. This is not clearly legal because it's still a process under investigation, but he informed about three confessions which had been given about these bodies. But they have 73 people in jail. We have not seen their declarations. We don't know what really happened. In Mexico, the tradition is for tradition, right? It is a one way of putting it. It's a practice, a terrible practice which violates human rights, which is that when one is detained, they are tortured and forced to confess. And so the suspicion by the parents and of the disappeared students and of Mexican society in general is that these three confessions are scapegoats. We really need to get to the bottom of the problem, and we don't know what happens yet. And the Mexican government, for instance, reacted very late. Even after the massacre, it took 10 days for them to even initiate an investigation, and still to this day, they have not started any investigation into federal complicity. And what's bubbling up here is not just the question of law enforcement and of violence, but in general, it's a call for democracy and to end corruption in the political class in general, of all the parties.
And just finally, the Mexican president, Peña Nieto, is about to arrive in Brisbane here in Australia for the G20 summit. He's clearly keen to shift the narrative from Mexico away from drug cartel mayhem and towards economic and political reforms that have won some acclaim internationally. How damaging do you think is this massacre and this mystery and these protests that are happening now to the Mexican government and to his presidency?
This could really be a turning point, I hope for the better, for Mexican democracy. Now, Enrique Peña Nieto really should have stayed home to deal with this issue at home. He preferred to travel to China, to Australia. I'm sure it's beautiful out there. But people at home are very upset that he has decided to just abandon the ship when we are in the middle of a very important political institutional crisis. The good news is that people have taken the streets. We've had massacres similar to this many times over the last 8 years. But now, finally, both domestic and international public opinion are waking up to the fact that Mexico's supposed democratic transition is actually full of corruption and impunity, and something really needs to change. The biggest tragedy in Mexico would be if things just sort of came back to normal after this event. We really need to move forward, and for that it's very important international solidarity from Australia, from the United States, and from the world.
John Ackerman, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Yeah, thank you very much. A pleasure.
John Ackerman is professor at the Institute for Legal Research at the National Autonomous University of Mexico and editor-in-chief of the Mexican Law Review.